doing so, we can take a look and see, who are we? What's our relationship with God? What's our relationship with each other? And that's what this time is for. Figure that out. Take a good look at who we really are. The title of my message today is, Have We Forgiven Our Debtors? Have we forgiven our debtors? I've known people who go all their life refusing to forgive someone and hurt or go all their life. Family members who have not talked to each other in years. Friends, church members talk because they won't forgive the church member. The sad thing is that this is God's church. This kind of thing is happening in the church. Think about your situation for a moment. Is there anyone in this church, not just this congregation, but in this church, or your family, or a co-worker, or a friend, or a neighbor that you or I refuse to forget? Because it is a refusal. Because we can't forget. Nothing's stopping us from forgiving. We just refuse to do it. That's the case. But the sad thing is, if we make that choice not to forgive someone, it can affect us in many other ways. Spiritual life, growth spiritually, our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. We can affect them. We can become a person who is unkind, has no compassion for anyone. It's a process. Just like our conversion, it's a process. God calls us up and says, I know this thing is true. We begin to study. Baptized, we receive God's Holy Spirit, and we continue on in God's kingdom. Conversion. All our life changes. The other way is negative. If we put ourselves in a position where we won't forgive someone, we go the other way. It stops. We can't stand still. Today, I want to look at three things. Three things that can help us become the person God wants us to be. And the person we can be. And as we talk about these things, do they describe who you are? Do they describe who I am? Think about these things as we talk about. During this time of year, when we're preparing to take the Passover, there's no better time. No better time than to get close to ourselves and to go. So the three things I want to talk about today, for each one of us, is to be kind. That's number one. Be kind. Number two, be compassionate. Number three, be forgiving. Be kind, be compassionate, and be forgiving. You and I are debtors. We're debtors to God the Father and to Jesus Christ. We owe them our very life. Because without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we would still be under the death penalty. No hope in our future. But because of his sacrifice, those sins that we all had have been forgiven. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Title of this is, Have many here to live as you are called. We are all called. We're called out of this world. We're called into the knowledge of God's truth. We're called to understand what God's plan is for this world. Not only us, but for this world. In verse 20, it says, let each one remain in the same calling which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, then use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that call in which he was called. That special call, that gift that God gave us, that opened our mind to understand spiritual things. It freed us because we began to understand what sin was and that we were being held captive by Satan. Because we were deceived like the rest of the world is deceived. Because God called us and opened our mind, we began to realize there's something different. We were called out of slavery. We were being held hostage waiting for someone to pay the ransom. Because someone had to pay that ransom for our freedom. Our slave master is the father of sin. The one who deceives the whole world, is what Revelation 12:9 tells us. Deceives the whole world. That's who our captain is. Set free because someone paid that ransom for you. The ransom was paid to gain our freedom, your freedom, and my freedom. It was paid by the blood of the only person who had never sinned and who was willing to take our sins, some of our stupid sins, and take them upon himself. Have that opportunity for eternal life. And I pray all the time. I pray that I get this. And I pray that the whole church gets this. And that we will follow the example of Jesus Christ to be kind to one another, to be compassionate for one another, and to be forgiving for one another. 1 Corinthians 11:28, it says, let a man examine himself this time of year. Take a look. See how you're doing. Let's look at verse 29, 1 Corinthians 11. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. As we do on the Passover, take that wine and that bread as symbols of Christ's blood and his broken body that was broken for us, and the blood was shed for us. In verse 29, it says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We understand that sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. What that meant, not only to God, but to Christ and to us. And hopefully none of us will ever take that life and go take the Passover in an unworthy manner. Just saying, oh well, this is the Passover, no big deal. Or none of us would ever do that. But you know, holding grudges against other people really hurts the one who's holding the grudge. Many times the other person has no clue. Somebody's upset with them, or holding a grudge against them, or whatever. Just don't know it. Being a person who holds a grudge and refuses to forgive others is something that happens out in the world. It doesn't happen in God's church. It doesn't. Because if you're a person who holds a grudge and refuses to forgive a brother or sister in the church, that church sometimes a clouds kick in before it rain does. Say things. But it happens. We can either carry that on our shoulders. It's a heavy burden. Or we can let go of it. And I want to be in the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes it's hurt. Looking at this tree, you turn your eyes. Hear that? He says, pressing toward the goal. And we all have that same goal. The kingdom of God. We're not here with, you know, 30 people and 30 different goals. We have one goal. And that's to be in the kingdom of God. Working together. Helping each other. Lifting each other up. Helping each other achieve that goal. That's what we should be doing. But here it says in verse 12, Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, Paul says, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Not being held back by something that happened yesterday. Hanging on to that, not letting go of that, but moving on. Because if we don't let go of those things, we'll quit making progress. We won't continue moving ahead. The three things I mentioned earlier, be kind, be compassionate, be forgiving, are the basic guidelines for living life as a Christian. That's what we are. There are no special skills or master degrees in education needed to achieve it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to achieve it. So what I'd like to do today is take each one of these guidelines and show how if we follow them, if we do them, it will help us self-examine ourselves and prepare ourselves for the Passover. And not only for the Passover, but for time way beyond the Passover. Because sometimes these things are carried around by church members for years and years and years. We have to let go of these things. So the first one is be kind. Be kind. Are you known? Am I known as a kind person? If I asked your neighbor to describe you, how would they describe you? Part of that description, they say, oh, they are the kindest person. They always put others' needs first. They will do whatever they can do to help someone. They're just so kind. Is that what people would say about us? Jesus Christ set an example of kindness by always putting others first. Their needs first. Do we put the welfare of others first? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound. You will be the bearers of fruitfulness and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Even to the blindness of his forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Those sins were forgiven. We left those in the water when we were baptized. We no longer have those old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And in verse 11, how exciting this one is. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance so plain, we can't miss it if we do these things. And part of that is being kind, taking care of others. Do we value other people's opinions? We're in a meeting. There's 8 or 9 people, and all but one agree on doing something one particular way. You have another person with a different idea. Do we value that idea enough to hear that person out? What do they have to say? To be kind to that person and not just dismiss them because they don't agree with the rest of us. But to show them kindness, give them respect, give them an opportunity to share what they think. A kind word or gesture can make a person's day. Most of us don't have any idea about some of the trials that people, even in this congregation, go through during the week. We see each other on the Sabbath. But some people have some very traumatic events happen to them too. We don't know anything about them. So they come to church. Someone comes up with a smile. Shake it, maybe a hug. That's absolutely what they needed. They needed that because they've been struggling all week by themselves. And we are the people who should be there smiling, greeting them, shaking hands, giving each other hugs, showing them kindness for one another. Need each other as Christians and brothers and sisters in the body of Jesus Christ to carry and to share kind words with each other. We need to let each other we really do care. We really do enjoy the scene. Bravely. Second thing is to be compassionate. Be compassionate. Having compassion for others reflects the deepest feelings of human being can have towards another. I heard when he was running for president, he used to say that I feel the pain. I got the future. Just something to say. We should feel each other's pain. We should also feel each other's joy. And have that compassion for each other. Jesus Christ had compassion for people while they were still sinning. People that he knew would cost him his life. Because of their sins, he had compassion for them. He didn't ignore them. He spent time with them. He wanted to be with them because he understood. they were going through as well. Matthew chapter 9, you turn it over. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus was with his disciples. And every time he went out, went somewhere, and they were walking somewhere, the crowds would gather. People wanted to be in his presence. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Verse 36, it says, but when he, Christ, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Heartfelt compassion for all of these people who were in so desperate need of something. And it goes on, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Just like our world is today. The world has no idea what to do, what the problem is. It's none. How to solve all of these major issues that are taking place all around the world, in every nation, on this earth. No solutions. People are becoming weary. They're confused. They're scattered. Everybody going on. Jesus Christ saw him in his people. He understood. He understood they were confused. They were beaten down. He understood their struggles and stress. The disappointments and sadness they felt. He was there to comfort them and have compassion. Have a high priest who did not sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who knows, because he went through the same thing as we. He knows what we deal with. But we have to understand, since God called us, since we've been since we have been growing spiritually, we understand too what we go through, because we've been through it. And that should stir up the compassion we have for others. Because we've been there and done that, just like Christ has for us. We have that compassion for them and understand and be there for them. Christ has experienced everything we experience. We sympathize with trials and tribulations. As children of God, we should do everything we can to show our love and compassion for each other, because we want to be like our Lord and Savior. And that's what he did. And if we want to be like him, that's what we need to do. All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So if we want to be like Jesus Christ, we have to, as it says, we have to be compassionate. We need to be courteous. Scripture by heart. I find that people who get you'll see here every Sabbath, rain, snow, sleet, whatever. We're here in sea. We may sound and look and act like the most religious person on the planet. Because they should be describing us. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. The heading here is the greatest gift. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I throw all the good words out to you. Sound religious. I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge. Though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, it is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, it does not look up, it does not be angry. Songs and hope, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. And if we're kind, if we're compassionate, if we're forgiving, that's love. That's godly love for one another, for all of you. When we think about these things, you and I should set aside some quiet, heartfelt study time before the pastor. And think about our relationship with God. Think about our relationship with one another. Is there anyone? Us so that we don't forgive, so that we hold those grudges, we let that hatred build, we don't talk to each other, we don't want the same room with each other. We as Christians must have an attitude of forgiveness. Sometimes to go up and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the stupid thing I said. very simple verse, but it says all that I've been trying to say. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted or compassionate. Forgiving one another. Just as God in Christ also forgave you. You want to be like your Lord and Savior. You want to be like Jesus Christ. Well, this is how you do it. That's what God's telling us here. This is how you do it. Just like he did. People would say, be forgiving. Why? Why is that so important? You don't understand what that person did or said. Why is that so important? Well, it's so important because God to the death of his only begotten Son forgave us for some stupid things we've done in our life, some of the mistakes we've made. That's why. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verse 12. The heading here is the character of the new man, which we are. A new creature. That's what Scripture says. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint, even as Christ forgave you, maybe. Yeah. If it's not too much trouble, it's very clear what Scripture says. It says, even as Christ forgave you, so you must. No option. God says we will forgive if we are Christian. We call ourselves Christian. We will forgive because Christ forgave us. It says we must forgive others because Christ forgave us. 1 Corinthians 13:4 talks about love suffers long and is kind. We read that earlier. Does not end. Love doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. And during this time of the year, Days of Unleavened Bread, we talk about leavening. Being puffed up with sin. We have to be mindful of that. We have that love of God, the love that Jesus Christ had for us. Said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God knows us. Inside that, pray for his kingdom to come. Because what else is there to suffer from? Convince us that we don't need to be kind or compassionate or forgiving. We're good. Just like we are. We don't need to be changed. It's a deception. Verse 14 says, "For if you forgive them the trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Pretty good deal. Jesus Christ can go to him. He can ask his Father to forgive those who treated him like that, who took his life. How hard can it be for us to forgive? But as Passover comes up, we don't want to go to Passover services burdened. There's no need of it. It doesn't have to be there. Remember Stephen, who was preaching the same gospel that Jesus Christ preached? He was drug out and stoned. nothing more than preaching the gospel. Nothing. And as he was being killed, his words were, "Father, forgive me." Would you and I do that? Paul was with you, Paul. We got your back. We're with you all the way. When he got up there and he turned around, guess who was there? Nobody. Nobody. They all split. Paul said, "Forgive me." Paul was going to face it. So let's be, before this Passover gets here this year, 2016, let's not carry a burden another year, another day on our back. Let's get rid of it. Let's forgive. Let's be the kindest person in our family, in our congregation, in our workplace, in school, and in our neighborhood. Person. If we follow that example of Jesus Christ, let's have compassion for others who have the same struggles, the same stress that we have. And they have the same goal of being in God's kingdom, the same as we have. Let's forgive those who have hurt or offended us. It's time to end the selfish, offensive, old grudges. Other clockers. God's church should be a place where we can feel the kindness and compassion and love. John chapter 3. are children of God. You and I. And it has not yet been revealed, but it shall be revealed. We know it shall be like that. Shall see. So anyway, some things for you to think about before Passover. Very exciting time, very neat time. Looking forward to these days. So let's take this time. Let's all take this time.